Well, I think we're going to sing happy birthday first. Yeah. Yeah. Happy birthday, Brian.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Brian. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, well, when you get home. I will. So good to come and praise the Lord together. Let's have a prayer before we start. Oh, Lord Jesus, when we come here today, you know how all our weeks have gone. And Lord, we would pray for peace in all situations, whether at home or abroad. And Lord, we do thank you for the love between us. We thank you for Brian this morning, celebrating his birth. And Jesus, we thank you that we can come here so freely to worship you. So, Lord Jesus, we worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So we're going to start with blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood.
Song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Let us come to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. We acknowledge that you, Jesus, said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through you. How wonderful it is when we accept this statement, and especially when in repentance we come to you and accept your gift of salvation. The fact that you suffered and died on the cross for all who would receive you into their lives is proof of a wonderful love available to all your followers. Lord, we want to know more about you, Jesus, and more about the Father, and more about the Spirit. We pray for all true believers, and for the many who do not know or acknowledge you. We pray that more and more people will be willing to share their love for Jesus, so that more and more will come to know you, Lord, and follow you, for you are truly the way, the truth, and the life. We commend to you and to your care the sick, the lost, the homeless, the housebound, the unemployed, those living in poverty, and we pray and thank you for all the professionals and the volunteers who donate their time and efforts to help all people that are in need. And Lord, today we want to remember some of the people that are not with us, but which we pray for each week. We pray for David, and we pray that his recovery will continue. We pray for April, and we pray, Lord, that she will soon hear when she is going to receive the treatment that she needs. We pray for John and Margaret, Bruce's parents, not able to leave their own home on their own. Lord, be with them. And then, Lord, we pray for each other. We pray for Richard. We pray for Jilly. We pray for Brian. We pray for Sarah Jane. We pray for Graham. We pray for Deborah. We pray for Rita. We pray for Jean. We pray for Sarah. We pray for Eunice and myself. And Lord, not only do we pray for each other, but we pray for our families, we pray for our friends, and we pray for those who perhaps we have a special concern for today. You know who they are, Lord. You know more than we could ever know, and we thank you that you love and you care for all people. So finally, Lord, we offer our own lives to you once again. May we serve you in any way that you desire. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So, Today our message is God is both three and one. And we're going to sing, Father, we adore you. Jesus, we adore you. Spirit, we adore you.
For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are afar off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day.
So we're going to sing Meekness and Majesty, Manhood and Deity, in perfect harmony, the man who is God.
Amen.
Going to ask you to forgive me for not standing. The less I move, the less the pain. So thank you for that. God is both three and one. The word Trinity doesn't appear in the Bible, but the fact that God is both three and one is seen in so many ways. So first, the Bible presents God as three distinguishable persons, commonly referred to as Father, Son, and Spirit. The technical term for the Trinity, as I've said, does not occur in the Bible, but belongs to that class of terms which are biblical in the sense of expressing clear biblical teaching. The scriptures do not teach that there are three gods, neither do they teach that God wears three different masks while acting out the drama of history. But what the Bible does teach is stated in the doctrine of the Trinity. As there is one God who has revealed himself in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these three persons are the one God. Now, although this is difficult to comprehend, it is nevertheless what the Bible tells us, and it is the closest the finite mind, can come to explaining this great mystery of an infinite God. So when we're concerning the biblical statements about God's being, as difficult as it might be to understand, the Bible teaches that there is one God and only one God. Deuteronomy 6 verse 4, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. However, even though God is one in his essential being or nature, he is also three persons. Hear from Scripture, let us make man in our own image. Now, God's plural nature is alluded to here, because he could not be talking to angels in this instance, because angels could not and did not help God create. The Bible teaches that Jesus, not the angels, created all things. In addition to speaking of God as one and alluding to the plurality of God's being, the scriptures are quite specific as to naming God in terms of three persons. There is a person whom the Bible calls the Father, and the Father is designated as God the Father. The Bible also talks about a person named Jesus, or the Son, or the Word, also called the Word of God. Jesus was also calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Then there is the third person mentioned in Scripture, called the Holy Spirit. And this person, different from the Father and the Son, but is also called God. The fact of the biblical teaching are these. There is one God. This one God has a plural nature. This one God is called Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all with distinct personalities, but all designated as God. We are therefore led to the conclusion that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one God, i.e. the doctrine of the Trinity. Acts 2:32-41, there are several New Testament passages that presume or imply or state God's Trinity, as it was in our reading that Jean shared with us. Each person of the Godhead is asserted to be divine. The Father is God, the Son is God, the Spirit is God. The Bible thus presents this unique and mysterious reality: one God, Father, Son, and Spirit. One way of understanding the distinction between the Father and the Son and the Spirit is to refer functions to each one. And the most popular form of this attributes creation to the Father, redemption to the Son, and sanctification to the Spirit. The Trinity is an important concept, even though we may never fully understand it. But here's how the Trinity relates to our life. God, who is Spirit and cannot die, sent his Son to be born into the world as a physical human. His Son lived a perfect life, and the fact that he was without sin qualified him to be the perfect sacrifice on the cross. Yet he rose from the dead, making salvation possible for all who believe in him for eternal life. At the very moment of salvation, the Spirit of God and of Jesus is sent to indwell us, and the Holy Spirit's ministry is to lead, to guide, to equip us to live godly lives in an ungodly world. So, if as Christians the teaching of the Trinity is a key element of our faith, by keeping in mind the work that each member of the Trinity does, should help us to direct petitions and prayers of thanks and worship to all three. Furthermore, the perfect love and unity within the Godhead models us for the oneness and the affection that should characterize our relationship with other believers within the body. Knowledge and acceptance that God is God, there's only one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. And if we know and if we believe in all three as one God, then, my friends, we will know that all three have a special task. All three love us. Why? Because they are one. They are God. One God in three persons. Each person having their own specific gift. So, yes, we might find it hard to understand, but God is God. And Scripture proves time and time again that there is but one God in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Bless you. Amen.
So just before we have communion, we're going to sing, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God Almighty, which the last line is, God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
Lord God Almighty.
from Scripture that at the point of creation, all three, Father, Son, and Spirit, were there. We know at the baptism of Jesus, the Father said, "This is my Son, with whom I am pleased." And the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus. Again, all three in one. We come now because Jesus loves us and he died for us on the cross. We come and we meet the risen Lord Jesus, for not only did he die, but he rose from the dead and is, of course, alive forevermore. And so we are invited to come and bring our concerns and our problems to the Lord and believe that he will deal with them for us. We are invited to come like the disciples, ready to do whatever the Lord requires of us. We come surely with thankful hearts. We come in humility and we go in confidence because we know that Jesus is Lord, one God, Father, Son, and Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that we can come and celebrate communion, that we can celebrate taking the bread and wine in remembrance of all that you have given for us. And we know it was your invitation that we should do this in remembrance of your great and wonderful love. I'm going to ask Jean, could you take the bread? And in a moment or two, Brian, I'd be grateful if you would take the wine. We remember that Jesus also took the cup. He said, "This cup is given for you." The request of Jesus is that we take the cup in remembrance of all that he has achieved on the cross. He shed his own blood for us. Praise be to God. We keep the cup until we're all served, and then we drink together. Thank you, Brian. Thank you. our wonderful Saviour. He suffered, he died, he shed his blood for us. Let us drink and be truly faithful. And dear Lord, as we go away from here, we thank you because we know that you go with us. You know each one of us by name. You love us. And we are so thankful for your love, for your care. Lord, you mean so much to us. One God, Father, Son, and Spirit, we do adore you. Amen.
So we're going to finish our worship today with Jesus is Lord. Creation's voice proclaims it.
Probably remember, you may not know, But both Jean and Brian are elders of the church, and so is Bruce. But we have lost one elder, and that is Stephen. I would like you to think, Jilly, get ready for this, I would like you to think about next week confirming Jilly as the other elder. Two ladies, Jilly, Jean, two men, Brian and Bruce. And it is good for me, and it's getting increasingly good to know that I can involve you in many things. And Jilly also, of course, is already very involved, and that's why I think it would be appropriate for her to fill that vacancy. So pray about that. Let Jilly pray about it. And remind you that next week the food bank donations are due. All right. Let us come together. May the
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Thank you for that prayer.